It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only,
I mean, could you imagine a twin?
Paul Lavoie.
All right, what's happening? Welcome to Speak Out, Thursday, August 26, 2021. It is a winning Thursday on Speak Out, as we advertise all week. For Movies Havasu, of course, we're going to give away at least one pair of tickets today to Movies Havasu, and that pair is valued at $18.50. I'm thinking two. I'm kind of feeling generous today. Maybe two, maybe even three. Who knows? But when we go to break, and you're listening to Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, by the way, when we go to break, you'll be able to call in 854-KNTR-928-854-5687, and the late Brian Springberg just showed up. No, I'm kidding, Brian. Brian knows I give him that nickname every time he slides in.
When you say the late Brian Springberg, it sounds like the ghost of Brian Springberg.
No, it just means you're not late.
I'm back. He's back.
You're sliding in. So yeah, I just got a text that said, "Be a man and make it 10 pair." So there you go. 10 pair of tickets. I don't know if I can do that, but over 5 weeks' time, maybe. Anyway, we've got Diamondbacks baseball again this afternoon. They'll try to salvage the series against Pittsburgh Pirates. They got one yesterday with a 5-2 win at Pittsburgh, so there will not be a sweep. But they can split the series with a win today. D-backs at Phillies tomorrow, same time, 4:05 p.m. And then on Saturday, Brian, college football.
Yes.
Nebraska at Illinois.
That's exciting.
There's another game we're not carrying. It's Hawaii at UCLA. So Pac-12's
Rainbows.
Yeah. Is it the Fighting Rainbows?
No fighting, but you can substitute that because it sounds better.
I can't. Or they were the something. There was something Rainbows back in the day when they used to be in the same conference with UNLV. Mm. That's how I remember that. The Rainbow Warriors.
Rainbow Warriors.
That was it. All right, so Arizona Diamondbacks at Philadelphia Phillies on Saturday. And, the Big Ten action starts at 9:30 with the pregame. D-backs Phillies 3:05, and we'll join the Cardinals and Saints in progress. That's from is that called the Big Easy? Is that New Orleans?
Nolens.
Mm-hmm. That's the Big Easy. 5 p.m. in progress on the sports station. And on Sunday, we've even got, there's a lot of fantasy football drafts starting up about this time of year. I remember I used to have like four teams at once. Not doing that so much anymore. But Westwood One Fantasy Football Forecast, 8 o'clock every Sunday morning through the season, through January.
Sweet.
Yeah, every Sunday morning on KNTR Sports, 94.3, 100.5, and 980 AM. Welcome to the team. And starting next Friday, a week from tomorrow, Lake Havasu High School Fighting Knights football.
Yeah, nice.
Friday Night Lights.
How's your team looking, Paul? What's the inside light and what's the scoop?
We'll find out on the amateurs, and that's scheduled for Wednesday at 9.
They're scouting right now. They're busy.
I could see Greeley and Tim Shagrew. I call them the franchise, right? Tim Shagrew and Bill Beckman and Justin. I could see them all scouting the Lake Havasu High School Fighting Knights varsity football team this year. But that's not the only sport to start up. There's more. And we'll get the straight scoop on all of that. Hopefully on Wednesday's show, and the amateurs airs at 9 a.m. on the sports station, and that's scheduled for Wednesday. So there you have it.
Sweet.
What's happening in the world of investing with Spring? It's now Springberg Wealth Management.
Working my way to that, yeah. I mean, not quite there, but transitioning to that name. So excited, working on the logo and the, you know, and the marketing.
As you transition back from Utah,
so
that must have been rough.
So it wasn't that bad. I think, you know, it was 105 or something like that. Now, had I been coming back today or tomorrow, yeah. It is not typical
Where
in my memory.
Ogden?
No, Heber.
Heber. 105?
No, 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 here when I got back.
Oh, here.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what was it like up there? 80-something?
Well, it was rainy for several days, and so in the 70s and rainy, but, you know, back in low 90s, upper 80s. But in the evenings, just gorgeous.
I'm trying to live vicariously through you.
So. Yeah, well... Depending on the day, it makes sense.
All right.
Not every day.
It's good to be you.
There are plenty of days it's good to be me.
There you go.
You know, some other days, you know, I don't know. You take a Lavoie if you have to. Because there's
nice.
No, you're not, you're, you know, it's not that exciting.
My name is now a verb.
So,
nice.
I'd assume in high school when you're on the dance floor, it was called doing the Lavoie.
Could have been.
Or, you know.
I make people dance, though. You know that.
Behind the drums. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, markets today down a little bit. Currently, we see the Dow Jones down about 0.38%, the S&P 500 down a little bit less than 0.5%. But still, markets hovering real, real high, doing quite well year to date. In fact, as of just this past Friday, August 20th, the S&P 500 was up 19.4% year to date. S&P 500 being kind of a broad index of the U.S. stock market, large companies. So we're continuing to see those things do well. And keep in mind that bad news, both, you know, current, present, and predicted, is priced into that number. It's not as though you can say, well, if Biden's tax proposals make it through, it's going to cause the stock market to implode. Well, it's not like the people managing tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, everybody, aren't more aware of what's actually going to happen than you and I, or the pundits on TV. So make no mistake that those things are priced in there. Now, things are subject to change or surprise or what have you, but all the known information definitely is priced in, both good and bad, as far as expectations, as far as what might affect corporate earnings and therefore your portfolio invested in the stock market, whether it be in straight stocks, mutual funds, exchange traded funds. Those things definitely are relevant. So the way I always try to explain it is two things, and if you've been a listener to the show, you'll know how I kind of look at it. There's the current information, right? Headwinds, tailwinds. Here's the things that could throw the market into a correction. Here are the things that are supporting it or could allow it to continue to do well. And then always planning for the things we don't see coming, integrated into what your strategy is, because oftentimes the things that do seriously negatively or positively affect your portfolio are things that we weren't even talking about, things that the pundits aren't even talking about. And so you have to always kind of have a grain of salt in what you're doing just to make sure that you've got your bases covered in case things do go awry outside of the confines of what everybody's talking about. So we know that, we're facing, some questions and concerns from an economic perspective. You know, predominantly, inflation remains a question mark. COVID, coronavirus affecting employment and jobs and the economy remains a little bit of a question mark. And then finally, We're kind of also wondering what form tax policy is going to take place and its potential negative effects on spending habits or corporate profits, et cetera. And everything that you're seeing and being talked about, again, is already integrated into kind of what's happening, and things still remain to be obviously pretty darn solid.
So, Brian, I have to ask you, it's the topic du jour. It may be a topic for a while, the Afghanistan pullout, of course, the military leaving behind a lot of, you know, its armaments and that sort of it. Does this whole situation have any impact on the market whatsoever?
Well, obviously not, right? Again,
apparently
it's
not.
Been going on,
yeah,
and the market's not reacting to that. Now, and don't forget, oftentimes, from a, I don't know, as cynical a perspective as you can have, but true, in my opinion, war can be good for the economy, specifically. In fact, we go to war, undoubtedly, and have, as a country, not for patriotism, not for right reasons, but because there is a gigantic economy, you know, the military-industrial complex, as it's called. Mm-hmm. You know, there are, you can, you know, if you're like, gosh, I don't know, you know, the statistics are crazy. The number of secretaries of defense, or if you take every secretary of defense and every assistant secretary of defense, you know, this is, you know, the people who are in charge of your military.
Casper,
right?
Weinberger.
You know, overlooking the, you know, four branches of the military, reporting directly to the president. You know, they're right there, right? Almost every single one, secretary of defense and assistant secretary of defense, worked for, before, after, or both, the largest military contractors who receive all of the contracts from the U.S. government. So it's like this, you know, you want to think, you know, what level, you know, you can be cynical about government. Nothing is more than that.
That's pretty cynical.
Because it's, well, but it's true. It's not like you can't say, oh, huh, literally 95% of every single Secretary of Defense or Assistant Secretary of Defense actually worked for Northrop Grumman, or, you know, you know, fill in the blank. And it's, so, you know, it's very complex. All these issues are, so the market, there are reasons what that geopolitical, conflicts and things like that would cause the market some serious downturn and concern. There's also, things relative to that that the market actually will shrug off, or even there's going to be sectors that will prosper and people pay attention to that. You know, the basic example is when, you know, George W. Bush put us in Afghanistan 20 years ago, you know, President Reagan armed what would become the Taliban before that. Mm-hmm. You know, President Bush could have pulled us out. You know, we went to it basically September 11th, even though September 11th, there is no correlation between Afghanistan and what happened. They were all Saudis and, you know, et cetera. And then, you know, President Obama, after Bush, could have also pulled us out. And then President Trump also could have pulled us out. In fact, he's the one who laid the groundwork for the pullout currently occurring.
Conditional, yeah.
You know, and sure, released 5,000 Taliban fighters. And, you know, I mean, so the blame game is ridiculous because both parties have definitely, and all presidents definitely couldn't have gotten us into it in the first place, or could have gotten out of us at some point. And it's cost over $2 trillion to our deficit as a result of it. And those $2 trillion went where?
Well, I think it's more like $3.5 or $4 trillion.
Okay.
That's a lot.
So you look at it and you think, okay, and the end result was always going to be this. Everybody kind of knows that. I mean, no one's ever won in Afghanistan, ever. And so, you know, the negative effects from the deficit point of view, much less losing our servicemen and women and fatalities and even innocents over there. I mean, it's been a big thing. But from an economic stimulus perspective, if we look at it like that, you know, putting 10 grand in any of those companies 20 years ago that were involved, you know, I'm sure you're 10 times, 20 times your money. And that's part of the result of that. So there is a point where obviously things go wrong in a more serious manner on a conflict level that the stock market is going to buckle. But we've seen it before that it kind of ripples at first. And then it kind of, you know, the American economic machine fires up and, you know, corporate profits driven by government funding, are loved on Wall Street.
So let me ask you this.
Right or wrong?
Since it's your first time back in the studio in a couple weeks, and we're looking at COVID booster shots, and that, what does that do? Right. You're shaking your head, too.
Wow. Jeez, just, I haven't, who isn't shaking their head about this?
I haven't SMH'd in a while, right? Yeah. So what does that do to Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson? And that does it make them stronger? Because
the FDA approval of Pfizer's vaccine, like formal approval, obviously does it. And the drive was dual focused, right? The drive to get the vaccine amongst 50 pharmaceutical companies around the world was focused on, one, doing the right thing, right? Helping humanity and getting us through this. Two, obviously, what an unbelievable opportunity to make an incredible amount of money. And so now that they've kind of gotten to the first step of doing it, there's no question now that the focus is on, you know, more efficacy and better, you know, who's got the better one and do boosters get recommended. And it gets certainly more weird now to me than it was before. Before it was, you know, obviously there's political and this and that, but not as much. I mean, it was really like, okay, we got to get this under control and there's going to be some money to be made. Now it's how do we stay out front? How do we get, you know, if you're asking, are the lobbyists for Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson beating the heck out of some doors on both sides of the aisle in Washington? Yeah, I'd assume their fists are bloody and the doors are dented, you know, trying to get, you know, approval or recognition or whatever because of the money's no different than, you know, hey, are we going to ramp up some activity in Afghanistan? Well, you better believe all the military contractors, you know, in the private sector are beating down those same doors for the same reasons, just, you know, money, but, you know, just a different sector. So kind of how the world turns. So at any rate, we're going to go to our first break of the hour. When we come back, I got plenty of FYI for you. And you got any questions, comments, etc. regarding the economy, investments, financial planning, feel free, give a shout. I'll help you as best I can.
Great visual with the words. Also.
Coming back with Aerosmith.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Classic Aerosmith.
Thank you.
We have to qualify that.
Yep, you know you do.
We missed a show we didn't have internet.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We couldn't run the music, and we had planned on classic Aerosmith that day. So this is kind of a make good. Larry on 2.0 ran a bunch of Stones. I wanted to do the Stones for Charlie Watts, but what are you going to do, right?
Yeah, we got to do that.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
We will.
Too soon?
Not today. Why follow that with...
I get it.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
You don't need 2 hours of it.
No, you're the man behind the curtain, wizard. I'm not going to...
Oh, I am.
I don't got
it. All right. Back with more in a moment. If you want a pair of tickets to Movies Havasu, give us a call, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. No restrictions, all show times, including advanced showings. And here's another special deal. You can text KNTR to 833-OIL-LANE. 833-OIL-LANE. That gives you a chance to win NASCAR tickets to Las Vegas Speedway for September's NASCAR race. The contest is being held by Victory Lane Quick Oil Change, a new business at the corner of South McCulloch and Maricopa. There you have it. Get those NASCAR tickets. 833 Oil Lane. Just text the letters KNTR to 833 Oil Lane. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us. All right, your assignment today, Brian, when you get home, learn Mama Kin.
Okay. That's old school.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun, a lot of breaks. But anyway, Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, Horizon Community Bank. Our newest sponsor, Thing O'Brien, was spot on. They help with credit card transactions for any size business. Call Thane 928-706-2784 or send an email to tobryan@spoton.com. T. O'Brien with an E at spoton.com. And, of course, Springberg Wealth Management. And congratulations to Brenda, who picked up a pair of movie tickets during the break. We're going to give away another pair during the next break. Brian, we have a call.
I'm listening.
All right. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Paul, Al Christensen. I was calling about the movie tickets, but nobody answered during the break.
It was about 10 seconds till we come back. So, Hal, I can put you down for a pair.
All right, I appreciate that. Thanks. Tell Brian I said hello.
You can tell him yourself.
Mission accomplished.
Hey,
oh, somebody's on the phone, Hal.
Yep, got to go. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Al. All right, bye. That's how we roll around here. We don't have a call screener.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So a little bit of FYI. There are 43,600 electric vehicle charging stations in the United States.
Is that all?
the infrastructure bill passed by the Senate allocates another $7.5 billion for additional charging stations.
I wonder how much they are each to put in. But I can guarantee you if the private sector does it, it'd probably be cheaper than if the government does it.
So, yeah, I'm not sure how that's being allocated or
I've
what have
like
you.
Four.
I just know that in the bill, the $1.2 trillion, $7.5 billion
is
for that.
And the funny part about that number is most charging stations, you see 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 at a time.
Banks of them,
together, you see banks of them. It's
probably
not
makes
like,
sense, right?
Well, I was thinking that number when I first heard it, I was thinking 48,000. Or 43,000 locations. But no.
Charging stations.
Charging stations, that's going to be each unit.
And I actually was thinking about it, what is the future of, the convenience store and all that? What is that all going to look like? And as we transition more and more that way,
it'll be interesting. I was having that conversation with the mothership, the captain of the mothership. Uh-huh. Last week, I think. And what do people do when they're charging their car? It's not going to be like a 5-minute fill up. Do you create a business that has a charging station or 10 of them?
That's what I'm saying. What
and then
does
you
it
go
look
in
like?
And then you go in and eat while your car is charging?
Massage
How does that
chair?
Work?
A massage chair?
Right.
You can get a Lavoie or something while you're there?
I don't even know what that means. Wow.
Just riffing. So, I don't know, but I just think it is going to be interesting. Obviously, people are going to mess around on their phone.
Kind of like the old concept of the internet cafe when you think about it. When broadband first came out and we transitioned from dial-up to broadband.
Yeah.
And people were thinking about, we got wireless now.
Yeah.
Let's create the internet cafe.
Yeah.
And now they're – in the cities, they're commonplace.
Yeah.
Not so much here. Wow. But, what do you do if you're a convenience store and you have a bunch of gas pumps that are being phased out?
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And then a whole lot of environmental, investigations. And so the world's – it's changing. It's going that way. You know that. Why? Well, because all the major car manufacturers in the world are retrofitting their plants to be completely electric by 2025, 2030, 2035. And that's just not the smaller production ones. That's
sure.
Ford. That's the way it's moving. So, Let's start thinking about that concept.
And then you have states like California that have already passed legislation that any car dealer in the state, if you're Toyota, if you're GM, if you're Ford, what have you, you have to have at least one electric vehicle, all electric, to sell your cars in the state of California. Mm-hmm. I think that's by 2020. Possibly 2022.
Right.
I can't remember.
And it's interesting. So we were, in Utah, and Heber City is a pretty rural, town, right? It's close to Park City, but it's really an agricultural area. So it's, horses and pickup trucks, really. But there's enough new people moving there, and I was driving around. I mean, it was Tesla. This car, that car, this car, this car, that car, Tesla. I was blown away, actually.
Not so many carburetors, huh?
And, fewer than there were 5 years ago in that area, I can tell you that. Supply chain disruption. We've talked about this, and everybody knows that part of the problem with inflation and pricing is the fact that, it's hard to get your goods and services. And is it the manufacturing plants? Is it the shipping? It's a combination of all these things, between COVID and between the fact that just a lot of people have a lot of money and, demand's way up. And so it's really interesting what's going on. But, there's a Chinese port, which, Ningbo Zhoushan. I was going to say, I'm not going to even try to say it, but I tried.
Easy for you to say.
The third busiest port in the world was actually forced to partially shut down earlier this month as a result of a coronavirus outbreak. By Wednesday, just after 1 week of that, the eighth shutdown day or so, 80 ships containing a total of 393,000 plus 20-foot containers were sitting idle in the water waiting for the port to reopen. So, again, if you're wondering where your sink vanity is, or whatever, it's floating off the coast of California, it's floating somewhere off the coast of China, it is a very real issue, and that's why the coronavirus issue relative to the economy is difficult to navigate if you think of yourself politically one way or the other. In other words, you can't say, I'm a conservative, so I don't believe in the government telling me to wear masks because of freedom. But I'm also a conservative, and so I have a problem with the economy shutting down and free enterprise shutting down because coronavirus is forcing so many people to become ill and not being able to come to work, and that's driving up the cost of prices and blah, blah, blah. Like I always say on the show, it's very rarely a clear-cut issue, any issue out there. It cuts a lot of ways. And so from a financial planning and economic point of view, I have always, always been on the side of wear your mask, get your vaccination, et cetera, protecting the health of others in your community and loved ones. That's part of it. The other part of it is keeping the economy open and helping small businesses and helping you, get your stuff on time, if that's bothering you. I mean, it is definitely affecting that. And one of the reasons that we could see the market have a correction is if things get worse than predicted relative to that. In other words, there's another variation that, causes people to get more ill or more people to get ill or whatever it is, like actually causing it. I'm not saying getting into the question marks of is it or whatever. I'm saying people actually missing work because they're sick or going into the hospitals because they're sick and those things actually occurring more than they are and more than the market expects them to.
So being a university guy, don't you think Alpha and Beta feel offended that they went straight to Delta?
But I'm not.
I'm just saying. And just to add to what you were saying about the mask and the vaccine and that, about protecting others, more so protect yourself. Right?
Yeah.
Protect yourself.
Yeah.
While you're protecting others.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So you know, that's how, you know, kind of I look at it. And, you know, there you go. I just gave you the 400,000 shipping containers which have some of your stuff floating off the coast of China because, you know, for because of 1 week, 8 days, let's call it, of, you know, them not having enough labor because coronavirus spread like wildfire through them. And so, you know, too sick to go to work or whatever's going on.
I don't know if you heard this, Brian, or if it's come across your business wires at all, but on the Kilmeade show a couple days ago, they were talking about the Delta variant really going through China and really having an impact on workers staying home and them not being at the docks to even load ships to leave China.
Right.
So they're having a tough time now with exports and imports.
Yeah, no question about it. So a little fun fact about keeping it close to home, Phoenix. So in 1950, Phoenix's population, about 107,000. It was the 99th largest U.S. city. Fast forward to last year, 2020 census, 1.61 million people. So they're obviously not including the surrounding Phoenix.
I was going to say, isn't it
Phoenix.
Like 7 million by
yeah,
now?
Yeah, but that's if you include the everything.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
The valley.
So Phoenix, in its own right, is the fifth largest city now. If you fast forward 70 years later, how the... and the biggest driver of that is I forget when air conditioning on any meaningful level became perfected and kind of thing and refrigeration, but there's no question in my mind, right? Like, why wouldn't you have lived in Phoenix? Because it's so, back then, especially the desert's so beautiful and it's, you know, 7-8 months of the year. It's amazing, et cetera. Well, it's because those 4 months, 5 months without good air conditioning or at all air conditioning, made it uninhabitable.
Or inefficient air conditioning that drove up electric bills.
Whatever it was. Yeah, back then, get a $19 electric bill and fall over.
Yeah, but now it's much more efficient. With the AC systems the way they are. We got to take a break.
Let's do it.
All right. Some classic Aerosmith on KNTR Talk. Speak Out, of course, Springberg. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg from Springberg Wealth Management. I got to get used to the whole spiel, man.
Do it. Change it up.
You messed up my mojo.
Nothing personal. Get used to it.
All right. Back with more in a moment with some... which one is this? I forgot. Of course, Draw the Line. Great album, by the way.
Yeah. Draw the Line.
Draw the Line. Yeah. Good stuff. Back with more in a moment. Call us for some movie tickets. I'm giving away one more pair. We've already given away two pair. So give us a call. 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Stay with us.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through SagePoint Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. SagePoint Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in here are independent of SagePoint Financial.
I used to draw the line as a draftsman.
Ah.
But then the boss would say I was drawing flies.
Was it straight?
Ba-dum-bum. There's another good one. There's another one for you. Speak Out brought to you in part by Connected Computer and Technology, also Mojave Community College, GDK, CPA, LLC, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, my favorite word, differentiated by an apostrophe, Herb's Herbs, SunPower by Esme Electric, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty, Bobby and Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule. And you know what the trick is to drawing a straight line without a straight edge, Brian?
What?
draw toward you. Do not draw away from you. Always draw toward you.
Okay.
Like, even when you're drafting, you draw left to right and top to bottom.
Yeah, I'm experimenting right now.
Little tricks for you.
Yeah, I'm terrible either way. Doesn't matter.
He really is doodling over there, folks. Yeah. That's what us talk radio hosts do.
We do doodle.
We do doodle. Hey, good one. Good.
So, 54 million Americans currently are receiving monthly Social Security benefit, retirement benefits, including retired workers, dependents of retired workers, and survivors of deceased workers. 42 million Americans receive monthly assistance from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, basically, you know, food stamps. The average Social Security retirement benefit is $1,503 per month. The average food stamp benefit is $157 per month.
That's depending on the state, though, right?
Per person. That's the federal program.
I think the state has their
own thing, maybe.
I got you.
I bring that up. So many reasons, so many discussion points on that. One, if you look at the population of the United States, what are we now? 300 million, 350, something?
I believe it's 350.
Something like that. So, just wondering, one-sixth of our population is receiving Social Security income, and that number as a percentage, of course, is only going to be increasing as our population continues to age, putting more stress on government expenditures and, therefore, some form of taxation along the way. $1,503 per month. So I, again, want to bring that up because if you are working or you have a child, grandchild working, and they have access to a 401k and they're not participating, you might want to drop the $1,503 a month benefit and say, hey, what would 18 grand a year look like to you to pay your bills? Because that's currently the average per month for people out there. And if you are not taking responsibility to put away money for your future retirement, that's all you're going to get. Meaning, you're going to also be applying for the food stamps I mentioned, or living with your relatives, which you definitely, well, I shouldn't say definitely, you may want to avoid doing at some point. And so, that is the whole idea of investing in retirement planning. That's why you fund your IRA, your Roth IRA, your 401k, because I know that's what you're looking at when you get there. And so when I sit across from a client and we talk about their income, that now that they're close to retirement or retiring, and I ask them, so, what is your expected Social Security? What do you have a pension? Do you have any investments in retirement plans? Do you have any rental income properties? How does that all fit from a revenue point of view relative to what do you owe? What are your payments in addition to your month-to-month bills? And your focus on those things is what dictates having a certain quality of life. Ignore those things at your own financial and quality of life peril. I believe in living for today. I don't think you put every nut away for down the road because you don't know what's coming. But so many people don't compromise and put away money, pay yourself first, as the saying goes. When you make money, you take it, you put it away for your future, you build up your emergency reserves, you do the right things so that when the time comes, you're in a better position to do the things you always wanted to do once you were no longer required to work just for the sake of having money to pay the bills. So, got to take our last break of the hour. We'll be back in a few minutes, and then we'll only have a few minutes, and we'll talk about a couple of other interesting points of fact in just a few minutes here on Sound Advice and Speak Up.
All right, back with more in a moment. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, presented by Springberg Wealth Management here in Lake Havasu City. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. We will return in a moment. I'm Paul LaVoy. Sweet man, won't get long. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Brian's hammering on the make-believe skins right now. And don't forget, folks, text KNTR to 833 Oil Lane for your chance to win NASCAR tickets to Las Vegas Speedway for September's NASCAR race. The contest is being held by Victory Lane Quick Oil Change. That's the new business at the corner of South McCulloch Boulevard in Maricopa. Again, that's KNTR. You're going to text the letters KNTR to 833 Oil Lane. All right, and good luck with that.
Oil Lane.
Brian's on it.
I'm on it.
All right.
So, tax-friendly states to retire in. Kind of an interesting article. Usually it's just blah, 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 you know, here's the list, right? And so I got that for you. I got a shocker and a interesting factoid. The shocker is Arizona made the list. And the reason we call it a shocker is that, you know, when you think of tax-friendly states, what you're usually just thinking of, well, who doesn't have state tax? Nevada, you know, our close neighbor, doesn't. Well, they don't need to, right, because of the crazy gambling revenue and taxes, you know, from that.
That's
so
part of
they've
it.
Got a yeah, for sure.
And their DMV fees.
Yeah, I mean, but they find other ways to
sure,
do it.
Sure.
But interestingly enough, of the 10 states that made the lowest tax burden, only 3 of them have no state income tax. The other 7 actually have a state income tax, like Arizona, but still made the top 10 of the lowest tax liability states to retire in.
The three
that have the lowest tax burden, but also do not have a state income tax.
Florida?
Nevada? No, Nevada, you know.
Okay.
Tennessee?
Hmm.
Wyoming?
No kidding.
Hmm.
There you go.
The most tax-friendly state to retire in currently? Delaware. Joe Biden's home state. Has low property taxes, no sales or estate taxes. So, it depends kind of how you spend your money, doesn't it? So, if you've got a high amount of income, well, Delaware, I don't know, maybe it seems a little too, it can't be that easy, right? If you got a high amount of income, well, maybe that is a problem. That being said, if you spend, I mean, if you go out to eat, if you're, you know, you have spending habits that you're, you know, really out there, then the no sales tax is definitely a big part of it. And if you buy a property and it's a nice one, the fact that their taxes on property is low is also beneficial. So if you got a lot of income in your rent, I'm guessing Delaware isn't as good as they're saying. Rounding out the top 10, Arizona, as I mentioned, Arkansas, Colorado, Hawaii. Although, okay, that's from a tax perspective. The cost of living, though, Hawaii, are you kidding me?
$8 for a gallon of milk, I hear.
It's crazy. Yeah. Nevada, South Carolina, Tennessee, Wyoming, and even Washington, D.C. Again, are you kidding me? Because the cost of living in D.C. is also astronomical. Arizona making the list, again, just because our lower relative sales tax, probably, you know, property tax, and I know we all complain about it all, right? We all hate taxes, but comparatively, still
a lot of fees
retirement
here,
friendly.
A lot of fees here are cheaper too.
So it's just kind of interesting how that all breaks down. Home building, 583,400 single homes built through the first half of this year. That is the largest first half of a year. In the United States since 2007. So we are definitely still on a home building spree. That comes to the end of the hour. With that, everybody, stay, I can't believe I'm still saying this, but yeah, I guess I can. End of August, stay cool, stay safe, because it's going to be, you know, 114 right, or whatever it is. And finally, God bless our service members we just lost in Afghanistan. Be well. Talk to you next week.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Our guest, Mojave Community College.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.